On this episode of the AIE podcast,
those nomads are roaming again.
Legion is legioning, but hey, at least there's flying from the get-go.
Oh, that's so lovely. Dantooine is a wreckage.
Final Fantasy XIV is here for spooky season.
And we are talking with ourselves.
All that and more coming up right now.
Bringing you the latest news from the AIE gaming community
from planet Earth and beyond.
This is the AIE podcast.
And welcome to episode 439 of the podcast celebrating you, the LA Yacht S gaming community. The Die Has Been podcast. This is Mew Cow. Hello, guildies. And to my left is Magala.
Listen, folks, there's both a wedding shower and a witch's tea next Saturday. I'm going to need everyone to not snack on random sweets in the guild kitchen, but I promise you get the leftovers.
Uh-huh.
Sounds tasty.
That was to you.
Mm-hmm. And to her right and trying to sneak things out of the guild kitchen is Tetsemi.
Constantly. Have you seen what she makes? It's amazing.
As is the mess.
No. Notice and
I didn't mention the mess. Anyway.
So, in case you couldn't tell, we are going to be talking to ourselves because we like talking to ourselves and hearing our own voice. And then you get to listen.
Mm-hmm. Hi, selves.
Hi. We did want to do a quick note here at the top to say please keep Kramer in your thoughts. He is a big part of AIE. He will be out of games indefinitely due to a stroke on the evening of October 5th. Mm-hmm. Right now, he is in a long-term acute care hospital, and the last thing we heard is he is making small improvements. So we are hoping he can improve every day.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's see what else we're digging into. But why don't we do news first, and then we can see what we were up to.
Yep, absolutely.
AIE News.
All right, guys, we have our mandatory fun nights. And as always, if you know about a schedule change that we do not have on the list, please let us know. When it comes to mandatory fun nights, the fun is mandatory, but attendance is not. Okay, Sunday, Destiny 2 at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Monday, Guild Wars 2 at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Monday, STO at 10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday, SOTOR at 9 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday, HFO Mythic and Mayhem in WoW at 8 p.m. Eastern. Friday, ESO at 9 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, LOTRO at 8:30 Eastern. Saturday, Final Fantasy XIV maps at 9:30 Eastern. And we wrap that up with Saturday at New Braid at 10 p.m. Eastern. The question about what is Eastern, it's the time zone that is not Max's.
Yes. Exactly. All right. And in streaming and guild podcast news, we have a ton of AIE member podcasts. You want to know where to find them? Look no further than right here. Starting with the New Overlords podcast with Max and Seema at newoverlords.com. The Boards and Swords.
I think they did a bit of WoW this week, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. Yeah.
Ooh, awesome.
Boards and Swords with Chris and Philip at boardsandswords.com. Dr. Gameology at drgameology.com. STO Fleet Action Report with Grebog and Nicodus. Just look on YouTube for Fleet Action Report. And A Podcast Reborn, a Final Fantasy XIV community podcast with Brandon, a.k.a. Old Man Franks, Megan, and Ro. Not safe for life. And that's over at bonusroll.gg.
And as we mentioned earlier, nomads, well, they're doing the nomad thing, wandering around. They are having some fun times with the group in 7 Days to Die on a private server. They may pick up on another survival game in the future, too, because they like surviving. Everyone likes to stay alive. Stay tuned and check in on the nomads if you want to jump in. I'm sure they'd love to have you. A New World's Nighthaven update is live and giving a new zone, a skill tree revamp, catacombs, and login queues. I guess it's been out long enough they need a skill tree revamp. Just how things work.
Yep.
Come check us out in the Fresh Start server on Hudson's Land and say hi to the New World Channel under Nomads. And a note that Hudson Land is currently locked, so you'll have to wait until it's unlocked. That's often the problem with the servers that we tend to pick with our games, is they tend to get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It is hopefully in the last 180 days, it's probably like Final Fantasy. You just have to watch, and then it'll flip open and say, okay, now we can have people. Oh, no, too many.
Exactly.
Are we going back to the old-fashioned hashtag AIE problems?
Yes.
Sounds like it.
Pretty much. All right. Speaking of AIE problems, wow. New Braid got its first full clear on Manaforge. And yes, Dan Kenio was there for that. Impressive concerning the fact that she's been working overnight and training folks on a different continent lately. Remix is going great. It's Legion Revisited. And all the things we hated about Legion are still there.
Yep.
But you can now fly from the get-go, which makes ancient mana farming much easier. And with Classic, it's going great. Not many people are online at this time, and there is always room for more.
And in SOTOR, they are looking forward to update 7.8, which is going to include a unique style of dynamic encounter called the Wreckage of Dantooine. Boy, that is an accurate title. A ship with powerful technology is going to crash land on Dantooine, spilling out its cargo of basically terraforming bacteria and substances along with droids to make it all happen. This will create burgeoning biomes that will start to push out the native farming land of peaceful Dantooine. Players will have the opportunity to enter the biomes and push back by doing various activities to make the central boss accessible. We're hoping that this form of dynamic guild encounter is guild friendly, meaning that everyone in a raid group will get credit as we work towards the goal. Fingers crossed. 7.8 does not have a date yet, but it should be on the test servers soon.
Over in Final Fantasy 14, Kelsier is going back to any level map knights, which means that they could be, you know, who knows where. They'll probably see who's there, and then they'll figure out afterwards. Also, the Halloween seasonal event has started, and it is going until November 4th. You can get a new mount. Also, the garden grounds that has the fun ability to change the different NPCs has new NPCs this year. They've added stuff from Dawn Trail, and they've gone back and added a couple new ones to Stormblood. There's a couple characters from the raid. I won't say who they are, but if you've done that raid, you know who they likely are. But if you enjoy becoming your favorite NPCs and running around and doing silly things, well, there you go.
Awesome. All right, ESO, not a ton of news, but the guild has been working on endeavors and in-game events. Always check out the ESO Discord channel and pop into game as needed. They do try to keep a fairly active group there. In STO, this week they're finishing up the Delta Quadrant storyline by running Nicodus's favorite mission. Tune in at 10 Eastern if you want to listen to see what they are up to at twitch.tv/Grebog. FAR is a video podcast that is out there and explains all the aspects of STO. Visit fleetactionreport.com or check their Discord channel for more information.
Looks like you got skipped over here. Did you want to take another one there?
Oh, hey.
That's me.
Hey, Ted, do you want that Lotro? I apologize.
Sure. That's okay. I will finish up. New expansion is up for pre-sale, and with that, Bull Roarer is in. Its cycle of builds for Update 46, Kingdom of Harad. Harvest Math runs through November 2nd. The Legendary Reward Track has been extended through December 2nd. This is to align it with the release of Kingdoms of Harad. If you need help with the Reward Track, they're always up for running some group content to help get some of those levels done. If you missed out on getting your tunes transferred off the 32-bit worlds just closed, you may now transfer from those dark worlds for free. The code for a bunch of quest packs is still available through November 3rd. Use the code, all capital letters, Explore Our World. Sorry, McCullough, for shouting, but it is case sensitive. And with that, let's chat about what we've been up to, and McCullough has a question for us all.
But that's at the end.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so who wants to start?
I think you're starting.
I'm starting? Okay, cool. All right. What have I been up to? I started a new job at work. which has been really interesting. Going from, hey, I know everything about my old job, not everything in general, even though sometimes I act like it, to being the brand new baby on the team and having to ask my direct report, hey, while you're at it, can you teach your boss what we do? So it's a really weird mixed bag because I have work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't actually know what to do with that.
Accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really weird. And I've been chatting with, I have one single direct report. And basically he is as bad as I am. And I'm basically, I said, no, we are on a team where we have work-life balance. So we're going to call each other out if we're working. You know, we're not going to bug each other when we're not in the, you know, working. We're only going to answer our Slacks during office hours. Yes, I know that I was doing that before office hours. And we're going to kind of treat each other with the same respect that our boss treats us. So it's been really refreshing. So that's like work, the work-life stuff. As I jokingly said, or said at the top, why would McCullough do this to McCullough? So I'm hosting a big Halloween tea, a witch's tea, next Saturday night. Some dear friends of ours are getting married. They are having their wedding shower during the day. I'm like, okay, well, I have some time between. And, you know, I'm off on Friday so I can get a bunch of stuff done ahead of time. And then being me, I said, hey, just let me know what you need help with. And a friend reached out, one of the people that was planning. It's like, yeah, I'll talk to you. I'm going to give your number to the person doing the food. So now I'm helping with food on the same day that I'm throwing a very large tea party at night that involves like 12 handmade things, including like rolls or, you know, crescents and rolls and scones and two kinds of cakes. And yeah, so why would I do that to myself? In-game stuff. Let's see.
See, apparently she just took the work balance and shifted it to the life balance.
I did. Listen, I'm
yeah.
sometimes not good to myself.
I apologize. Which Mrs. Mew went to something about tea witches today.
Oh, yeah. She mentioned that at one of the bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, no, yeah. She said she was going to that. That sounds like right up all of our alleys.
We had a fun, geeky, nerdy bookstore open up in an old bank. So she has been patronizing that quite a bit.
I'm sure. I am sure. That's awesome. All right. So in game, I will handle our Call of Cthulhu madness. And Ted, if you want to handle our Ghosts of Arcadia.
Sure.
So I know we've chatted on this one, but our Call of Cthulhu game is getting real interesting. Our it's a Regency era game, but the funny thing, even though the game is Regency, a lot of things that make it Regency we're not necessarily dealing with, like we'll have to know, like all the society stuff as much, though there is some of the societal stuff when it comes to, you know, women's and society and all that, but that's a given. Plus where our characters are currently in Egypt. But we have made it to our destination, which is an oasis where a professor had disappeared who was actually working for my character's family's company. And we've had, you know, there was literally just a red comet low in the sky. So that's gotta be a good sign, right? Only good things. With that.
Only good things.
Good omens. Yes. A group of Bedouins who call themselves the Keeper of the Well came to us and said, absolutely, you should not go here. You should just go back home. nothing, you're not going to find anything good. So that sounds fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have recently been researching the fact that there was a female pharaoh that was called, I believe, what, the Midnight Pharaoh? Pharaoh of Night?
Yes.
Yeah, the Pharaoh of Night, That there was pretty much a cult too. And we think that is what we're probably dealing with, because there's another group that has tried to we have not had direct contact with, but the professor we're looking for, one of his people did, called the Keepers of the Night. So pretty sure we're dealing with that. When we last left, my character had fallen into, we had gotten to where we think the professor last was, and my character had fallen into a hole, literally.
Lassie, what's that?
Yeah.
McCullough's down the well?
Yeah. Which actually ends up being maybe an underground cavern. And then one of the other characters just jumped right down, and then somebody else just threw me down in the hole in on a rope. So I'm like, and I fell on a dead body.
Like one does.
Like one does in Call of Cthulhu.
And of course she doesn't want to, being a person with archaeology skill, and that she's in an underground chamber, not an underground tunnel, she doesn't want to be rescued.
Exactly.
Ooh, fun things.
Yes. And by the way, I was not affected by landing on the dead body. Others were.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and my character had to get fake married.
Yes.
Because
Regency rules,
and even more strict than, you know, English regencies were in Egypt. And the people we were traveling with, our guides, were like very superstitious that the mission was cursed because there was an unmarried woman. Well, two, but one was a nun. So yeah, we got fake married.
Yes, my doctor did the ceremony.
Yes.
It was a riot.
Yes. So that is what I've been up to.
Right. Well, I'll break it up and say what I've been up to.
Excellent.
Yeah, you can bring us home. So let's see. Real life. Having fun with strep. Not me particularly.
Oh, no.
But, you know, yeah.
No, it started.
Fun? That doesn't sound fun.
Well, here's the thing with our kiddo is that you won't know he's actually sick until it's dire. And then he's like, hey, I have a headache.
Like, oh, no.
You go full speed when you're sick. So, yeah. But, yeah, luckily it was just the strep. They were like, it's like, okay, well, if we don't find anything, then, you know, maybe we'll do a COVID shit. Oh, no, it's strep. Strep, everyone, strep. So, so yeah. But, you know, the good news is, you know, they have the easy pill regimen for that. And he's, I mean, the first pill, he was already like, boom, 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 boom. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, you're feeling much better, aren't you?
Yeah, honestly, it's one of those, that, like, a day after you start those antibiotics, you are almost, you know, you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And they of course say, you know, don't let that trick you. You have to do the whole thing. You got to, you know, you got to do the full clean out.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll linger. But other than that, you know, staying home, enjoying the backyard with the podcats. They have been demanding lots of outside time, because it's, the one thing is once the sun goes down, it is bearable outside. So, you know, we can go back out there with our all black cats who would otherwise fry underneath the sun.
Yep. Right. Yep.
You know, enjoying our pirate ship in the backyard and plotting things.
If you have a pirate ship, you need to enjoy it as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, it's got the best vantage point. I can see where the cats are at all times. We have we have glow collars for them because they're both voids. So if you don't put something shiny on them at night, they're just gone. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yep. Well, I had cats. They're now one with the void. But other than that, in world, in game, I have been enjoying Legion Remix. I mean, I haven't gotten to the annoying part yet where you have to gather all the mana. You know, other than that, it's been interesting. It's, you know, they've kind of tweaked the old formula, and I almost wonder if it's too much focus on the, oh, you need to get back and do your research. Like, it seems almost kind of distracting.
Right.
Because, like, you get all the good stuff by doing the research, so you're constantly going back. And whereas it felt like before, you didn't have to go back to the hub, the time walking hub or whatever they called it. Oh, the bazaar, I think it is what they called it. But on the plus side, you don't have to spend your coins on important upgrades. You're just spending coins purely on cosmetics and mounts and all that other kind of fun mm-hmm. stuff. So I do enjoy that change. And like we said, flying immediately and dragon flying immediately. So you can just zoom around and there's...
That is nice.
And the funniest thing that I've saw is, so they didn't put all of the mechanics in from original Legion. Uh-huh. You don't have to power up your weapon. Like, they have a power up your weapon thing, but it's not your weapon. It is the generic weapon. Like, it's right. just you're powering things up. As you're going through your order hall, one of the funny thing is you're not doing the order hall table. They've completely disabled that. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're about to do it, the time dragon lady will pop up saying, "And we're skipping that." And we're skipping that. And we're skipping that. It's just kind of funny that, like, they've added a little humor to it. It's like, yeah, we're not going to make you sit there for 24 hours to do this thing. We're just going to go ahead and skip that real quick. So I appreciate that. Yeah, pretty much. It's so anytime, like, you know, they still let you, you know, you can still recruit your followers or whatever, but that's it. Like, it's just recruit them. Okay, done. You don't have to do anything with them. They're just there. They're hanging out at your order hall.
That's awesome. Yep.
Pretty much. Yep. Skip. Yep. Not doing that. Skip. It's just... Her comments are just funny because she's already kind of a sarcastic time dragon lady anyway. But it's, you know, they've gotten rid of all the annoying time gating stuff. Although the funny thing is, it's still time gated. So you only have the two raids right now.
They're
not going to open it.
Yeah.
In batches. Yeah. So, and that includes getting the cosmetics for those. So, like, if you go to the vendors, it'll actually say not viable until this happens. So, and I guess it's kind of, you know, it makes sense because if everything was open, we would have burnt through it all in a couple of days and then left. So,
true.
You know, that's just our nature, that if you let us grind it, we're going to grind it.
Can we, phrasing?
No.
We please phrasing?
No. We're not doing phrasing. We're not doing phrasing.
Oh, all right. Fine.
Yeah, but it's been a fun little jump in, run around. If you do any of the dungeon queues or LFG queues, you're just ripping through stuff. Like, it's laughable. Like, you know, as a tank, I'm basically doing Final Fantasy 14 pools where it's just wall to wall. You just drag everything with you, stop at the boss, and then everything just gets mowed down in the blender at the end.
Nice.
It's still fun. It still feels powerful. Like, that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, you don't want to take away that whole power thing, because that's what this is. It's a limited time power fun. You know, it's just how it is. Let's see. Then Final Fantasy 14, still enjoying that as well. The Halloween event is fun. They of course send you back to the manor again, the Haunted Manor. So it's always fun to go back to the Haunted Manor. And, you know, the garden with the NPC stuff, that's always fun. And the new mount is interesting. It's, you know, it's pretty fitting for what you're supposed to be doing with it. But you'll have to go find out what that is yourself. And that's probably about it. I haven't really had time to jump into, like, you know, I wanted to play Borderlands 4 at some point. And, you know, there's also a couple other big games coming out. At the end of the month, we're supposed to have Outer Worlds 2 coming out. And, yeah,
I will be covering that. Yep.
Yep. But other than that, I did, however, enjoy going to the new Tron movie that came out. What was it, last weekend? I think it was last weekend. Yeah, we snuck out during Monday while the kiddo was at school and enjoyed it, me and Mrs. Mew. And yeah, it was awesome. Fun. I mean, I've heard a lot of people saying it's just an hour and a half music video for Nine Inch Nails. Like, well, yes, the music is really good. But yeah, what's wrong with that? But it, just like Legacy picked the perfect artists. Like, you know, Daft Punk was perfect with the theme of that movie. It was more diving into the wonder of being in the virtual world. Whereas this one, Nine Inch Nails, was the perfect choice because, like, if you listen to Nine Inch Nails, they already kind of have a little bit of a techno kind of bent to them. They're rock, but they're tech, like, they're rock techno.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Like, it felt like the music they put in belonged. And the visuals were, of course, stunning. We didn't go to IMAX. We went to, so Cinemark has basically Disney ride chairs, if you choose them. So you sit in it, and it basically feels, you know, it'll rock with the scenes. It has the, you know, the full vibration, and right. It basically has a subwoofer in the seat, and you can, you know, you can tell it what, how intense you want it. It's like, you know, during the very beginning where it's just the thumping Nine Inch Nails song, you just turn that up and just vibrate for a while, and you turn down a little bit. But, you know, it's kind of cool, especially like, you know, when they're doing the scenes on, of course, on a motorcycle or a cycle, like, you know, and you're kind of swaying with it. Like it feels like a neat little addition. So, you know, it's if you're into that kind of thing, there are some theaters that have those options. So, you know, look around for it. But I enjoyed it. I felt like the story fit well. They touched on the first two movies. They gave you even a sensible, like, in case you've never seen Tron before, here's a quick catch up.
Oh, that's neat.
But they did it in a way that made a lot of sense. So I like the reason why they did that, they explained that. And I thought that was really well done. But yeah, like, I enjoyed it. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to having it at home. But I hear, like, if you have IMAX, go see it at IMAX because it was made for that.
But do you have the special seats at home?
Yeah.
I mean, some people might.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm saying you do. You know, you're saying you're looking for it. I'm just asking.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't have the special seats at home. But, you know, you just move your speakers up against your seat and there you go.
There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, an enjoyable time if you're, you know, if you like Tron and all, if you like techie stuff, if you, I've one thing that I will mention is I liked the way that they portrayed 3D printing in the real world.
Oh, nice.
I feel that they did that. They did it properly.
Cool.
So, you know, and I'll just leave it at that. And like, you'll, you know, when you see it, you'll see why. Like, it just, it's like, huh, that makes sense. That's pretty cool. So.
Very cool.
So that's enough out of me. Let's go over to Tets.
So in real world, kind of, McCullough and I have been enjoying the, no spoilers, Critical Role Season 4 with Brennan doing the DMing and Mercer actually getting to play. And just the first 2.5 I think we're 2¾ episodes.
Cause we have 2¾, yeah.
We have like an hour left of episode 3 to finish up. It's amazing how much lore and story he's getting into from the 13 characters that he's very adeptly managing table swaps and getting the characters in, getting the characters out, and giving everyone enough time, but still advancing the story to get through the first 4 episodes, which they're calling the overture. That's basically like setting up the campaign world, and then they're going to break it into 3 different tables: the soldiers, the schemers, and the seekers. And yes, it will be interesting to see who's at what table, and then each episode from there will focus on a table for, I think, a couple episodes, or they may intersperse tables in between, but he won't have to juggle all 13. I think the most
at the same time.
Yeah, I think one table has 5 and the other 2 have 4 to balance things out. But it's just the West March's style presentation is very interesting to watch, and it's a really good story too. It's like, you know, as he says in the very beginning is, okay, so you killed the gods. Now what goes into that power vacuum? And you're like, okay. All right. I see where we're going. So we've been enjoying that. And then playing in our own game, our Thursday game has been on hiatus because Kenny has been training on people on a different continent overnight. So we took a break on that. And we are continuing our Cyberpunk game. And we are currently we finished up our last mission to basically get a part off of a essentially an oil rig, but it's a what they call Valine. It's they're tapping into the veil and pulling veil energy out, and then it's being converted into something that they can ship in literal like oil ships or fly off, you know, in oil barrels to power up the city. And so we made it off there, rescued the people we were supposed to rescue, and we had a good time. But now we're really getting into it. Basically, think Snowbird in the middle of winter during a snowstorm. But instead of Snowbird, they converted it into a secret research facility that no one knows about. And when we got there, we couldn't find anyone. We just found the first person alive. All we'd been finding were like blood trails and cryptic notes on computers about what's going on at this facility. And we were even told, don't rescue any of the experiments. Like, if you rescue the experiments, that's money away from completing the mission. We just want this artifact. Yeah. Just grab the artifact. Get out. No one sees you. No one knows about you. All that. So my Dravy character is a technomancer who's now dipped into Soul Forger, and basically he's designed to marry spirits to machines and make living constructs is his end goal. But he has enough computer knowledge and security knowledge that he can get through some of the situations. And it's a real interesting balance right now. Because he can solve a lot of the technical stuff, but then the rest of the team is dealing with we came across someone. We need to convince him that we're actually here to rescue the facility, not cause trouble, you know, but without him like remembering us and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's fun. And it involves McCullough and our friend Talia's characters, race. Yeah, the Lirinai, the elves of the area, and what somebody in their
one of the houses associated with
one of the houses is experimenting, and yeah, it's just all kinds of creepy. And we've got the, you know, the stuff in the vents, and like I sent a drone up into the vent to go look, and it got about 10 feet in and it started to like get drained of power. We're like, okay, get that thing out of there. There's something going on. Don't go through the vents.
Yeah.
All kinds of fun stuff. So that's been a blast. We're still having a lot of fun with that. And we're getting ready for our Halloween one shot. And it's going to be a Call of Cthulhu campaign, but it's going to be based in the Day of the Dead celebration in Los Angeles. And so we were told, just make everyday characters, like, do that. And like, so we said, okay, it's in Los Angeles. Like, I think 4 out of 5, if not all 5 of us, have made actors or actor adjacent, like screenwriters or writers,
people in the industry.
Yeah. So McCullough's doing a stunt woman. I'm doing a B-list actress who's dating McCullough's character. A friend of our Heather's DM from her Friday campaign is actually playing with us. What is Chris playing?
No, I don't think he's in the industry, but he's playing. Basically, he had a Tinder date gone, where he made plans to take her to this, and she stood him up, so he's going anyway. I can't remember. Yeah.
Right.
What he was.
And then our friend James is doing a struggling author. You know, all kinds of, yeah. It's a blast. So we're gonna play that. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday. And we'll see how long our one shot takes. Usually it takes us, you know, I think our Christmas one shot took like 8 weeks, 8 episodes.
Yes. Well, eight yeah. sessions. It took longer than that because, you know, I had to go to India in the middle of it.
Yeah. But yeah, our DM is very good at dropping colorful things that we focus on that he meant just as color.
They're shiny things.
Right. And that we hyper-focus on, like, that's got to mean something to the story. Let's go focus on it. Conversely, when we actually get our act together and just go full bore, we, like, you know, knock it out of the park in one episode. So we'll see which disaster this one it turns into. And then for video, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's a pity if it was mostly AIE people. You could have totally done everyone's going to BlizzCon, DizCon.
Yeah.
and they're getting out of the airport and about to head that way. But
yeah. Oh, if you
happily, it is mostly AIE adjacent people.
Yeah. Blizzard Watch Podcast did a, so there's a role-playing game where, you play all your characters are birds in the human world. And so they did a Pigeons 11 of having to break into BlizzCon and steal the recipe for Metzl's pretzels. Yes, they had Chris Metzen as a genius baker, and they had to break into BlizzCon to steal that recipe and get out. It was a riot. Like, 3 episodes of this. Somebody was playing like a golden eagle. Somebody was playing a pigeon. Somebody was playing an emu. It was ridiculous, but it was so great. Yeah. And then for video games, I finished up Outer Worlds 1 because I wanted to get that through that to get ready for Outer Worlds 2. And then I figured out, I don't know why I didn't think of it, but my PlayStation 4 DualShock controller also works well on the computer because for some reason, and it just may be psychosomatic, I don't know, but I'm playing through Horizon Forbidden West, and they have a little grappler that you're supposed to focus in on, grab something, and then it's supposed to reel it in and pull like the rubble out of the way or pull the treasure chest down, that sort of thing. But I tried it with the Xbox controller and I'd get stuck on terrain and stuff like this. I'm like, okay, is the game just a bad port? Is there something going on? Somebody goes, throw a DualShock controller on there just to try it. So I'm like, okay, let me figure out how to do that. I got it all, you know, figured out. It wasn't that hard, but it's a lot more finicky than the Xbox controller connecting to the Bluetooth and getting recognized by the operating system. But once it does, it works fine. And yeah, works 10 times better on that particular thing. I'm like, okay.
I mean, it's a Sony game. Sure, why not?
No, I know. It's a Sony game that launched on the PlayStation. It makes sense, but I'm like, it's just hardware. It shouldn't. Okay, whatever. So yeah, I'm playing that, and I just got out of the tutorial area for that game, but I'm playing that until Outer Worlds 2 comes out, which is October 29th, I think, or October 30th. I think it's launching near Halloween.
Sometime right at the end of the month. I still need to do the DLC for 1, because I never did get around to that. I finished the game well before the DLC came out.
Ah, okay, yeah. Well, what's interesting is, because I was going to do that. I was going to do main story, and then I was going to take care of the 2 DLCs. And you get to the main story, it's like, you might want to go do the 2 DLCs first before you go past this point of no return. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I went and did the 2 DLCs. Completely worth it. They are brilliant. Like, the detective one alone was a lot of fun. And then I forget what the other one is, but yeah, they are both well worth it. Like, they add so much story to the world and stuff like that. That, and then they do end up playing into the end of the game. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yep. So, but that's what I've been up to. And now I think McCullough has a question.
I do. All right. Because I love food.
Yeah.
What are your favorite fall treats or treat? And Mew, we're going to start with you.
Well, I in recent years have started actually to enjoy the pumpkin spice. So I kind of
the spice must fly.
I don't know why. It's not like I avoided it. I just didn't seek it out. It was just there. Like the closest I came to pumpkin stuff back then was so Kroger, if you're familiar with that grocery store, has their bakery makes pumpkin chocolate chip muffin cookies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're probably the best cookies I've ever had. So like that and they only came out during the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were always excited. Me and Mrs. Mew, she's probably just as into them as I am. Unfortunately, there's not a Kroger here, so we can't get them here. But Ralph's started having them because they're now owned by Kroger.
Yep.
So we were able to enjoy that while we were out there in California. But that was about as much pumpkin as I did. You know, maybe a pumpkin cheesecake. But then, you know, recent years, I just said, you know, this is actually, you know, pumpkin spice is actually pretty tasty. And yes, I know it's not pumpkin. It's the pumpkin spices.
Right.
So, but I've learned that I, instead of doing the pumpkin spice latte, I actually have the mad mocha because then I get the chocolate chip pumpkin muffin taste to it.
Uh-huh. Nice.
So, yeah.
Very cool.
So that's probably my favorite drink this time of year. As far as treats, I also find myself getting really into apples this time of year. And it's just because it's harvest time.
Yep.
Yeah. So pies, apples themselves, apple sodas, because the HEBs that we have in Texas have their own brand of stuff. And they actually do a pretty decent apple soda this time of year. So I've been enjoying that. And then, you know, and then I'm just eagerly awaiting when the eggnog comes because I'm one of those weirdos that likes eggnog for the taste and not to add other things to it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's fair.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's what, I'm apples and, oh, what apple is my go-to? Probably my favorite is green.
I was about to say the same thing. Yeah. Like my friend's like, I mentioned, like, I only buy Granny Smith apples. She's like, you eat them straight up. I'm like, yeah. Plus they're really delicious. Anything you bake with them.
Yeah. They have extra flavor to them. You know, the other ones, like if you don't get the right red apple, like that just kind of goes into blandness. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. It just doesn't live up to it. The Cosmic Crisps are okay.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah.
And of course, as everyone knows, Red Delicious is not delicious.
Nope.
It's not.
No, good it's, at all. Okay. And I don't think it's my whole Snow White thing, but I cannot stand a red apple.
Hmm.
They taste mealy.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas green apples are just right. They have the right texture, right flavor.
Seems they're like great they baking.
It's hard to beat a good Granny Smith apple.
Yeah, yep.
It's
pumpkin and, you know, and apples.
Yeah, pumpkin and apple. That's delicious. All right, Tet, what about you?
That's a good question. I do have a favorite in that you make a very good pumpkin beer bread.
I do make a good pumpkin beer bread.
Yeah, that's good. We've had some good, instead of apple cider, pumpkin cider ales that are very good. I also like, you make pumpkin tarts.
I do. And those are happening next Saturday. Don't worry.
Yep. Little pumpkin tarts. But things that are not pumpkin, you make she makes a good fall stew, which again, apples.
And apple cider.
Yeah.
And,
apple cider, onions, chicken, carrots, sweet potatoes? No.
Sweet potatoes, cranberry, sage, cinnamon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. Put it on the stove, let it simmer, and it's, you know, even better the next day when all those flavors have just sat and marinated overnight.
What I'm hearing is that all of your favorite fall treats are sourced from her.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Although if we're talking apples, the pie shop my daughter works at has a really good apple crumble. Now, apple caramel, that's a McCullough. But they, I think we ordered for Thanksgiving this year. We did a, we did their peach.
The peach bowl.
Yeah. So, that's going to be good. But yeah, I mean, pies, stews, anything fall related.
Yeah.
You know, good heavy food that keeps you warm during when it's cold or supposed to be cold, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's probably why I'm not in the mood yet. It's just still too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even, what is the, not broccoli and cheddar, the soup. There's a soup you make for the fall. Oh, well, it'll come to me. But what
butternut
about
squash?
You? Yeah, the butternut squash soup.
Oh, good. All right, so I'm, yes, guys, sometimes I am very basic. I do love a good pumpkin spice thing. But my thought is chai spice is superior. So all you need to do is anything that you would have, like pumpkin spice, add a little bit of cardamom. And if you have it on hand, a tiny bit of black pepper. Mm-hmm. And then you get more of those chai spices. So it's like a little more intense. So I will do that actually like in a pumpkin pie or in the pumpkin tarts or anything like that. But I have definitely been kind of leaning into anything apple caramel. Like, we've been doing a lot of Dutch babies, which is always, you know, a delicious favorite for Sunday morning because I do them individual. But I've really enjoyed the ones with apples on top and then the chai spice as a spice in it and then some caramel drizzled. And we have a patisserie up by us. Or not up by us. It's actually downtown that we go to, I would say, probably every other week, in this especially right now. And she's been playing with a lot of different delicious flavors. A lot of them have been like pumpkin based. She had one a few weeks ago that was a basil with a fig basil. So I'm kind of like that way. I really enjoy any of those foods. I think that's about it when it comes to, and then it's, you know, anything that's just kind of warm, comforting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we have time for our last one.
All right. Speed round.
And this one actually is game. Yes, absolutely. Mew, have you, for Halloween or for anything else? Okay. Love for pecan pie. Yes. Okay. Pecan pie is absolutely delicious. And our daughter's girlfriend makes a really good one.
Yep.
So.
Whereas I'm not into the whole nut side of things, so no thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Good to know.
That is a valid question. Me. All right. So, Mew, have you ever dressed up as a character from a game for Halloween, for a con, any of that?
Yeah, so for Halloween, I do have a Fallout suit, so I did do that 1 year. I did do Mario 1 year, and Mrs. Mew did, of course, Peach, and I believe the boy did Yoshi that year, because that's his favorite character.
Nice.
I did go to the Fan Fest with Makoti Ears, so kind of did that. I don't think I've ever dressed up for BlizzCon. I dressed up as a Blizzard employee at 1 year because I was one.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, I'm not as big into the cosplay as Mrs. Mew is. I'm usually the cosplay handler.
Medic.
It helps for me. Well, yeah. And I can't have a distracting costume if I'm not taking care of, a more elaborate one. So.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in Halloween, I try to do just a little something, you know, even if it's just, you know, this is my costume, you know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Going on. But yeah, that's, you know, those are the two big ones. I definitely have a lot of Fallout gear strewn about. So that one, that's an easy one.
Very cool. All right, Tet, what about you?
Kind of. I do our Disney bounds for like Captain America and that sort of thing count.
Yes, because there's absolutely video games that he's in.
All right. Yeah. Then there's my answer, yes.
There's your answer. Okay. And I mean, I don't think I've ever done a video game unless we do like Disney, unless we loop in like anything Marvel and Disney, then absolutely with Disney bounding.
Yeah.
I've done Star Wars, but
you just did Kill Dr. Lucky.
Oh, I did just do something from, I did a look inspired by the board game Kill Dr. Lucky. You're right. I did. I have absolutely done stuff. I have done McCullough-esque, my actual WoW character McCullough-esque, but I don't think I've ever worn the white wig as McCullough.
No.
In a costume, but I definitely could do that because she, of course, was the white-haired blood elf. Mm-hmm. And I've done like D&D inspired stuff for Con or Ren Fair or Halloween tons of times.
Like, well, what about your D&D shopkeep outfit?
Oh yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, she's more of a Call of Cthulhu. Yeah, my pinstripe dress, and yeah, that is actually, you're right, that is based directly off of a character from a Deadlands game originally.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we can't forget Jubilee and me doing Havoc and like, well, how are we gonna keep a mask in his face? But hot glue. Oh, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
No, we didn't. So
when the X-Men TV show came out the year later, we actually all did X-Men characters back in the 90s for Halloween.
Wow.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that is it for my silly questions.
Yep. I think we're good. Right.
Well, then that might be it for the show for tonight. So, chat room, while you begin suggesting show titles for us, we want to thank everyone for joining us. That includes you in the chat room and us. Anyone
listening later. Yes. Thank you. All right. And if you have questions or comments for the show, you can email us at podcast@aie-guild.org. You can find us on Discord and Blue Sky. We record live with video. We try for once a month on Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. max time, and 5 p.m. Pacific. You can join the chat room and play along with us on our website, aie-guild.org/podcast-live-stream. / Or you can look for the link in our Discord server at aie-guild.org. All of our past episodes, you can see them on our YouTube channel. Just look for the AIE podcast. Our theme, of course, was composed by the amazing Andrew Allen. Follow him at Keys with Soul.
And this is where we would include any member segments that have been contributed, but we don't have any this week. If you'd like to contribute 90 to 120 seconds, just include the audio file. You can email it to us or include it, a link, and we can download it from there and we'll get it in the show.
And as a quick programming note, at the end of this year, schedules get really crazy because someone likes to do a lot of cooking for all kinds of events.
Yep.
I'm not sure who that is. you know, holidays happen. You know, real life happens. And we kind of, you know, like to focus on that stuff from time to time. So we're going to see what we can do. Maybe sneak something in end of November or early December, whatever we can make work with our schedules. But we'll let you know. You'll see it. That's about it. So this is Mu Cow.
This is Makala.
This is Tetsemi.
And this has been the AIE Podcast.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.